Welcome to Curaleaf, a medical marijuana dispensary. Whether you're a longtime patient or you're just getting acquainted with this incredible plant, Curaleaf of Pennsylvania is honored to guide you along your medical marijuana journey.
This is the Blue White Breakdown, the premier podcast for all things Penn State football.
Talk about culture. It's something that should show up in every aspect of your program.
It's the Blue White Breakdown, brought to you by Penn Live.
Here are your hosts, Bob Flounders and Daniel Gallen.
Okay, guys, time for another edition of the Blue White Breakdown podcast. I'm Bob Flounders, joined by Daniel Gallen. Daniel, it's good to see you. We're remote this time. We did three of them from your hotel room in Tampa last week. The temperature was a little bit different than it is now. 80s and humid, Daniel. I don't know what it's like at State College in Harrisburg. It's about 28, and the temperature differential is wreaking havoc with my sinuses. I don't know how you feel, because I went from 30 degrees for 2 months to Tampa 85. Now we're back to 25, and it's just been a little bit of an adjustment for my body. I hope you're feeling well. How are things at State College?
They're good. When we left Tampa on, what was that, Sunday morning now? It was 75 and sunny. And by the time I got back to State College at midnight, it was 30 degrees. So a bit of a swing there. But, you know, that's where we live. You got to get used to it. And it has been an adjustment, though. I'm not a big beach humidity guy, but after a couple of days down there, I was like, I might be able to get used to this.
I'm not a big change of seasons guy, but boy, it sure felt nice to be in December in shorts and just hanging out, you know, hanging at outdoor bars. It was cool. The Outback Bowl itself, I thought, other than the final score, if you're a Penn State fan, Penn State fans in attendance, I think really had a good time. Daniel, we're going to continue with the good time theme. Daniel, let's just get into some of the movement that's happened at Penn State. It's literally every hour, but Michael Hazel leaving James Franklin after a long stay as his director of football ops. Joe Lohrig, as expected, is now at Oregon in the same role, special teams coordinator, like linebackers coach or something at Oregon. James all but said it in the postgame press conference. He said, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into it. Usually I'm not a fan of lateral moves, but he's kind of from that area. So that we knew that he was going to leave. Let's talk about some of the player decisions. And let's also talk about Penn State's new special teams coordinator. Let's start with Rasheed Walker. Has not played football for a while at Penn State. Didn't play the last two regular season games. Was down there on crutches. Was never going to play, I think, in the bowl game. He was a member of the 2018 class. So he's coming back for another year. I always get confused about when they decide to make their decision public. Did you think there was a chance Rasheed was going to stay? I thought the longer it went, Daniel, there was a chance maybe he would be back.
When we saw him down there, it kind of piqued my interest a little bit. I thought that, oh, maybe he'll be coming back next year, which kind of scrambles how you think about that offensive line. But in the end, it's not that much of a surprise. He definitely could have gone pro after last season and probably could have worked his way up some draft boards. It's interesting because his stock, I would say, is probably lower now than it was a year ago. So he has some work to do in the pre-draft process. Obviously, we don't know his exact injury, but I guess his first priority is to get healthy. And if he can get healthy enough, then time for those pre-draft drills. And as I've written, and as we all know, Penn State guys test really well. So that should help his stock. But I think that a lot of it will depend on what kind of coaches at the next level see at him. Do they see him as a left tackle? Do they see him as a right tackle? How do they kind of square the potential, the physical gifts with the on-field product in 2021, which at times was not the best.
Yeah, definitely has an NFL body, has played a lot of football at Penn State. I actually thought his 2019 year might have been his best overall year at Penn State. That was his last year, I believe, working with Matt Limegrover. I think he was the offensive line coach there. It's all starting to run together, Daniel. But I thought his redshirt freshman year was actually pretty good. Phil Troutwine took over. 2020, just so-so. And this year, I had high expectations for him. I'm sure he had high expectations. There were just too many times he was beaten on plays. You know, we don't know all that went into the blocking assignment. But boy, when you're that big and you have the feet that he has, you expect some dominance. I don't know that we saw it, but I wish him well. It would not surprise me, Daniel, if he had a very good NFL career. There was a player at Penn State, James Franklin. I think he had him for 1 year, and he left for school. He left school early. Donovan Smith, similar to Rashid Walker, big guy, left tackle. You thought he would be a little bit better than he was on the college level. Left school early. I think he went in the second round to the Bucs, and every year he's gotten better at the NFL level. And now it's to the point where he's often, you know, viewed as maybe a top five, top 10 tackle. I could see Rashid Walker doing that, but I also think that he's going to have to do some good things leading into the NFL draft. You know, there's some good tape on him out there. There's also some tape where they're going to some NFL people will probably be shaking their head, but let's talk, Daniel, with him out of the picture. I think at least three of the offensive line spots for 2022 could be, I could see them as being set. You know, Juice Scruggs started at center after playing guard a lot of the year. I think that's his home now. Caden Wallace, I'm not expecting him to say he's going to leave Penn State. He would be the right tackle. What did you think of Olu Fashanu against Arkansas? And I would say he's definitely the guy to beat out at left tackle. He's a big guy. And I think he can only get better.
Yeah, I think that Fashanu, I think he acquitted himself well. You know, when watching the game from our perspective in that press box, it's kind of the thing where I think offensive line, maybe cornerback, those are the two positions where when you're watching the game from that perspective, if you don't notice a guy, that means that he probably did pretty well. There are really no points on Saturday where I was like, whoa, Olu Fashanu really got beat there, or that I kind of noticed him. When you're watching, kind of that big picture perspective is almost the highest compliment that you can pay a guy. If you're thinking back to the game and you don't really remember something from one of those positions, it's probably a good thing overall. The wild card is definitely the transfer portal. Earlier this week, Hunter Norzad, who's an all
Ivy. Nice pronunciation. Nice.
Trying. He's an all Ivy League right tackle from Cornell. He put Penn State in his top five. Obviously, if Penn State were to be able to land him, the other contenders are Iowa, Illinois, Auburn, and Virginia Tech. If Penn State were able to land him, then I think that he slots in as your right tackle or competes with Caden Wallace. Maybe then you can move Caden Wallace inside. There's a lot of talk about how he might be better fit long-term for guard. Mike Yurcich was asked about that last week, and he just kind of nothing that they've ever considered. Yeah. I think that kind of opens things up a little bit for you going from there. So I think it is interesting. There's a lot of moving parts. I think that you also have to factor in Landon Tangwall there. Saleem Wormley, someone who was in line to potentially start before he was hurt. So I think that Penn State could go into next season where I think maybe you put Scruggs down in Penn for that center spot. But depending on what kind of personnel things happen, I think that the rest of the line has to be in pencil. And you could have seven or eight guys competing for those other four spots when things really get going this spring and into the summer, into the fall.
Yeah, they used a lot of, obviously, Mike Miranda center most of the year. Started at guard in the Outback Bowl against the Razorbacks. I think his time is up. He probably should be up. I mean, he's played a lot of football. Versatile player. I think he's ready to – I don't even know if he has eligibility left. I think he was a member of the 2017 class. So
Miranda has one more year that he could come back for. But
are you bracing for a Mike Miranda return or not?
No. I think – just kind of reading between the lines after the one practice before we went into it last Thursday, the Penn State players, the seniors were carried off the field. If you look at on Penn State's Instagram, which photos of which players were carried off, I think that you can kind of read between the lines. That's a little bit more indicative than maybe the senior day ceremony was with some of the guys who have come back. But of course, as we've seen throughout the past couple of weeks, when it comes to these announcements, it's not final until you actually know.
All right, it's the Blue White Breakdown podcast. Daniel Gallen and Bob Flounders talking about personnel moves within the Penn State program, either coming or going. Eric Wilson, I think, was the other guy, the Harvard guy that played a lot of guard this year. I think he's probably on his way out as well.
He's out of eligibility.
He's out of eligibility, yeah. So he's out of the picture. Let's talk about a guy that was, I think, featured a little bit on Penn State's senior day, who was injured since the early stages of the Iowa game, who was a lot of people loved PJ Mustipher's start, because to get all Big Ten second team by the conference's coaches and first team all Associated Press first team as a defensive tackle, when you didn't even play half the year, that speaks to how well he was playing when he suffered that lower leg injury, missed the season. He's coming back. I think we talked about it a little bit on our drive from Tampa to Orlando on Sunday. What was he going to do? Should he go? Already played a lot of football. There's no guarantee he wouldn't get hurt again. PJ, though, as announced earlier this week, he's coming back. Great news for Penn State. My only thought on that is, when you're that big, 330 pounds, and all indications are it was a pretty significant knee injury, and that's certainly what it looked like on the field during the Iowa game. You never know how that rehab's going to go. You never know when he's going to feel like he's 100%. So what do you think went into – I know he put a statement out, but what do you think all that went into PJ's decision? It seems like it was the right decision, but I think – it would not have surprised me if he was going to leave too.
Yeah. I mean, that was one that I was pretty 50-50 on.
Yeah.
Because he has played a lot of football. His tape is pretty good. He has some really impressive things on there. And if there is an NFL team out there that I could see falling in love with him on day three, being able to get him as a little bit more of a value because of the injury and bringing him and getting the chance to kind of finish his rehab with an NFL team, in their facility, kind of getting him going on that way. I mean, I could have easily seen that happen, but I think that PJ has the chance this year to kind of rebuild that draft stock a lot. Obviously, his playing style in terms of those interior defensive linemen, he's not one of those necessarily game wreckers, I guess, that you would think, like, I don't know, like Albert Haynesworth or whatever, Aaron Donald, really. He's going to take up the space. He's going to make the stops. He's going to be very sound. I wouldn't necessarily say he's a flashy player, but there's a lot of athleticism there. So I think that he gets the chance to finish his rehab now with Penn State, go into next season. You can manage his workload a little bit to get him where he needs to be. And so that by the time next year comes around, he's healthy and he's ready to go. So I think this will be a big year for him in terms of rebuilding that draft stock. He gets to hold on to the leadership role again. And I think that he's just a really good presence for Penn State to have around. And I think that that'll be kind of one of the more, I think, underrated things coming back.
Yeah.
And obviously, too, you can't underrate what he meant on the field, especially the juxtaposition of him getting hurt against Iowa. And then the next game being that Illinois game where they just got run all over.
I agree. And if there ever Penn State could get a position upgraded in a hurry by a guy deciding to return, it's defensive tackle, right? We saw them. They just were short quality players in the Outback Bowl. A lot of snaps for Devon Ellis, Keziah Izzard. Derek Tangelo opted out, so he's out of the picture. That was a really, really weak spot on paper before PJ even decided to return. I'm sure they like a lot of these players, right? I'm sure – there's even some more players they really like. But, PJ's been doing it at a high level, really, since 2019 when he was in a timeshare with Antonio Shelton. And he's just gotten better and better. I hope the rehab goes well. I hope by maybe the start of the Big Ten season, even though they open at Purdue, I'm talking about like maybe October, he's close to 100% because, man, he was fun to watch. And I think the coaching staff really knew his value. And, Daniel, you make a great point. The minute he wasn't in there, you saw what Illinois was able to do, and it was just not the same. As good as Arnold Ebiketie was, different kind of player. The defensive line never really, I don't think, recovered from the loss of PJ Mustipher.
Definitely. And I think too, that this is a position that they could look for in the transfer portal. We saw them bring in Tangelo last year.
Yeah.
And obviously, Devon Ellis, I thought, played some really good snaps. Kaziah Izzard made some plays. At the same time, those are still kind of unproven commodities. And obviously, the only way to gain experience is to get experience. But it wouldn't be a surprise if Penn State looked toward the interior defensive line in the transfer portal yet again to add kind of an instant impact running mate next to Mustafa up front.
This is the Blue White Breakdown.
Welcome to Curaleaf, a medical marijuana dispensary. Whether you're a longtime patient or you're just getting acquainted with this incredible plant, Curaleaf of Pennsylvania is honored to guide you along your medical marijuana journey. Have questions? Visit us at Curaleaf.com or stop in to see us at any of our 12 locations. Let's talk medical marijuana and let our confidence become yours.
Daniel, Jordan Stout, not a surprise going into the draft. I hope Penn State fans appreciate what he was able to do in 2021 and not just focus on the missed field goals, because he had a positive impact on this team in a couple different areas. He essentially took away the opposing return game, whether it was kickoffs or punt returns. He was really good at pinning teams inside the 20. Field position weapon, another transfer guy from Virginia Tech. I think he was a first team all Big Ten punter, deservedly so. It bothers me when people, there's a lot of negativity out there, and just to focus on some of those missed kicks, I just think you don't really understand the true value of Jordan Stout. I think he's absolutely a guy that could possibly even get drafted in the NFL draft late, you know, sixth, seventh round, just because he can do so many things and he can get better even if he opens the year on a team as the backup field goal kicker. You look at what Blake Gillikin's doing in the NFL now. I don't know if he was drafted, he was drafted late. There's Robbie Gould played at Penn State in the early 2000s, Daniel. You were just a puppy. And he was not a good place kicker at Penn State. He wasn't bad, but he was just so-so. He's still kicking, I think, in the NFL. So to me, a guy like Jordan Stout, I really think he's gonna make an NFL team very happy. He can punt. He can handle the kickoffs. If he gets better as a field goal specialist, I mean, he's handling like three different jobs. I think there's some value there. How do you see Penn State handling all of the duties that maybe Jordan did last year? Obviously, they're going to divvy them up. I don't think one player can do all the things that he did. We saw Jake Pinniger in the Outback Bowl. You know, he's not exactly a proven kicker yet either. But what do you see from the kicking game with Jordan Stout out of the picture?
Yeah, I think you have to start with Jake Pinniger. Obviously, James Franklin told us not to read too much into the senior day festivities and whatnot. But I thought it was notable that Pinniger is a fourth-year senior, and he was not honored at senior day. And then you look into it a little bit more, and he came in late in the Michigan State game for the final extra point after Stout missed a field goal and an extra point earlier. And then you get to the Outback Bowl, and Pinniger's he's the yeah. kicker. So I assume that you start there with him next year. Whether or not they try to do something with what they did with Pinniger and Stout, where they have that kind of line of demarcation where Stout handles everything longer than X, Pinniger is everything inside X. We'll wait and see. But I think Pinniger will be the kicker next year. I think Sander Sahadak, he's someone where you heard some good things about him. I think Stout was pretty complimentary of him at times. And he's a local guy, I think, from Bethlehem.
Daniel, I'm for Bethlehem. Come on. Come on. How did you not tee me up for this? It's okay.
The Lehigh Valley, pride of the Lehigh Valley. I think that he'll be someone to watch. And then I guess when it just kickoff specialist, I mean, Jordan Stout was a guaranteed touchback this year. When I was pre-writing his draft post, I mean, I think they only had two kicks returned against them all year between touchbacks. I think one or two went out of bounds. There's a fair catch in there, onside kick in there. To have only two returned, I mean, that puts your defense in a spot where every time they go out on the field, they know where they're going to start. They know how to start, which I think is something that you can't really overrate. And as for punter, Penn State signed Alex Paqueta from Georgia, went to the same high school as Blake Gillikin. So there's a connection there. I think that he'll be someone to watch right away. And then In terms of reading into the senior day stuff again, Barney Amore, who was a transfer from Colgate, he was a senior. He didn't walk at senior day. Obviously, you would assume that Paqueta has the inside track, but Penn State, I mean, James Franklin has talked about how they invest in special teams, and you look at the roster and you've got all these long snappers, all these punters, all these kickers. Long snapper Chris Stoll is coming back for a sixth year next year, so, which gives you a little continuity in that group. I think it'll be a pretty interesting and I think potentially entertaining competition through the spring, especially because Stout and Pinniger had provided so much kind of continuity over the past few years that now there's going to be some changes.
Daniel, you mentioned special teams in the kicking game. Perfect segue. Joe Lurich out, same job at Oregon. Stacy Collins, who last coached the Boise State special teams this past fall, is the new guy. Not a coaching lifer. He spent a lot of time, though, as an assistant coach. I think there's a little bit of a crossover between Lurich and Collins. I don't know which school it was. I don't know if it was Utah State or somewhere. I think they were both together. It was one of those schools out west.
They both played at Western Oregon for right. Two seasons in the 90s. And then they were both on the coaching staff at Western Oregon in the late 90s. And then I think Greg Pickle pointed out that I think when Lurich left Utah State, that's right when Collins got to Utah State, or vice versa. But they butted up against each other at Utah State. It's an interesting profile for someone who's never coached east of the Mississippi, who has primarily West Coast experience. But obviously, Penn State had this hire ready to go. It was less than 24 hours after the Lurich hire went official. New special teams coordinator, special teams, outside linebackers, and nickels coach.
Were they not together in 05-06 at Idaho State? Am I missing that? Did you see that?
Oh, yes, they were there too. Sorry, that was my... I forgot.
No, that's okay. I was just trying to... I sensed that Joe and Stacy knew each other, and I was just looking before the podcast where they might have last worked together. And I do think it might have been 1 or 2 years at Idaho State. Not that it really matters, but I have to think that maybe... there was some input maybe from Joe Lurich about Stacy Collins. One thing I'll say, Daniel, is I think it would really be great if James Franklin got together with Stacy Collins this offseason and say, hey, if we're going to fake a punt or a kick, let's make it a little – let's give it a better chance of success, because there was that nightmare, the second fake in the Michigan game, and right before the end of the first half, I think of the Outback Bowl. I think it was Jordan Stout was in the middle of both of them. It just did not go so well. So maybe James likes to write a lot of notes, Daniel. Maybe that's a note for James for Stacy Collins, is let's get our act together. When we call the fake, let's give it a more realistic chance of working.
Yeah, that fake from the Outback Bowl has kind of popped into my head a little bit over the past couple of days. And definitely one of the more absurd plays I think we saw over the course of the year. From start to finish, the formation, the play itself, and then the outcome where the Arkansas player dropping an easy interception ended up being the best thing that could happen for Arkansas. And then on top of that, it being followed up by Arkansas running a trick play where Jair Brown got the interception to end the half. That was one of those sequences where you just kind of look around the press box and it's like, what are we doing here? What is going on?
Let's close this edition of the Blue Light Breakdown podcast. By me, I'm going to tout this series that I just started today on Penn Live, Penn State Veterans to Know in 2022. The idea is, guys, that maybe we're not key guys or key cogs that, you know, for one reason or another, whether it was injury or just playing behind somebody that was just much better than them, but you could see they were going to be a good player. I have like 5 or 6 names on my list. I have another list that's coming later, Penn State fans. You're not going to miss an award-winning list. It's going to be. I don't know what award it's going to be, but I'm going to win something for these two series that I've started. And one of the first guys I wanted to talk about was a player I think a lot of the fan base doesn't realize. I think it was a pretty big loss when Adisa Isaac, he would have been a third-year player, I think, in 2021. You know, with them losing Odafe Owe and Shaka Toney, Thank God Arnold Ebiketie worked out in a big way. But I think that there were some big plans for Adisa Isaac. We don't know what the injury was, but James kind of ruled him out in early August. I think I've heard some indications that they expect a full recovery for 2022. This was a highly recruited player, Daniel, in their 2019 class, the class that had Brandon Smith, I think, at the top. Adisa Isaac was not that far behind. I think he is a player that if he can stay healthy, you know, they do have Nick Tarburton coming back, Gilbert. I caught myself finally. Had that 3-sack game in the Alpine Bowl. I think Adisa Isaac, if he's healthy, really, really upgrades the defensive end room. And I think he's a player that, I mean, if he's healthy and he's getting a lot of snaps, you could see a breakout year from him.
Yeah, definitely. I think I saw something that James mentioned him on the pregame interview on the radio before the Outback Bowl as something about seeing him run around and about how great that was to see. So I think that he's someone where when you look at kind of how things worked out on the defensive line and kind of the idea that if you have Isaac opposite Ebiketie, you know, that moves Luketta and Tarburton into more of those rotational roles. Ebiketie and Isaac wouldn't have to play as many reps. And it kind of you just kind of go from there. There's a big ripple effect, especially because Penn State never really got that other pass rusher. They never had a fourth pass rusher this year. It was all Ebiketie, Tarburton, Luketta. You and I both, we believed Brent Pry at the beginning of the year when he talked about Smith Vilbert being the guy, and it took almost 5 months to get there, but we finally got there in the Outback Bowl, which is good going into next year. But I think that Isaac coming back will be good, especially because there is no one other than Tarbert. You feel good about Tarbert, and you know, he had a good game in the Outback Bowl. I think that he stayed healthy last year for the most part, and I think that he's proven that he can be solid in there. But other than that, I mean, there's a lot of question marks there. I think James Franklin has said deny Dennis Sutton, the incoming freshman, is someone who can contribute despite not enrolling early. So I think that you have to watch him. But Isaac coming back, I think, gives you that number one atop the depth chart. And especially with kind of the ripple effect, if you put him next to PJ Mustipher, that can make his job a lot easier playing next to a big body like that. So I think that was a good pick as someone that, you know, maybe, I mean, I forgot about him at times this year. So I think that he's someone that the fan base will get familiar with this offseason and beyond.
Okay, so let's wrap up this edition of the Blue White Breakdown podcast. Daniel's going to be back a little bit later in the week with Dustin Hockensmith. We're going to be rolling out three of them a week, even in the off season. There's no off season for Daniel Gallen. I can tell you that if you've been following along on Penn Live, there's just no off season, Daniel. I mean, you're going to be picking your spots, I think, with men's basketball as well. You're going to be staying busy. Before you know it, it'll be time for Penn State spring drills. But Daniel, now that the season is kind of over, I don't know. You were talking about maybe a trip to Philadelphia this weekend. I don't know where that stands. What do you have on tap this weekend? Is it an off weekend for you? Or are you still going to have your hands in some kind of Penn State football coverage?
So Micah Parsons and the Dallas Cowboys are coming to Philadelphia this weekend.
Dallas Cowboys, yep.
Bob Flounders is Dallas Cowboys. I'll make sure to put that in the copy.
Go ahead.
We're credentialed for that, so we'll make the trip down, get to see Micah Parsons in the flesh. No idea who will be suiting up for the Eagles after they put about more than a fifth of their roster on the COVID list earlier this week, but got that coming up. And then I think next weekend, first weekend of the NFL playoffs,
you'll be up to something else Penn State related, I promise you. You just haven't really conceptualized it yet, but I'm sure that you're gonna, I hope you get one weekend off. That's my off season wish for you, is to get a solid 48 hour weekend in. Hopefully you can do it, but you never know. There's always Penn State news. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I think yesterday I was all suited up, ready to go out for a run at about 4:30. And then I see the Jordan Stout news come across. Luckily I had that one in the can. So that was easy to get up and get on the way, but I think once we get through this weekend, things will quiet down a little bit. You know, it'll be time to turn towards recruiting, the transfer portal, and to look at those kinds of announcements and breaking news. So there's really, at this point, for any level of football, college football, NFL, there's really no real off season, but you make it when you can.
Okay, for Daniel and I, that's a wrap on this edition of the Blue White Breakdown Podcast. Remember, Daniel and Dustin Hockensmith are coming later this week. I've seen some stuff on social media about some Penn State recruits and maybe their appearances in some games, and they're doing well or they're together. Maybe there'll be some info from Daniel and Dustin about that. I don't want to tip their hands, but I would imagine there's going to be some recruiting news for you Penn State fans, and you're not going to want to miss it.
This has been the Blue White Breakdown, brought to you by Penn Live.